Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Audio Frontier.
This is Football Daft with Stephen Purden.
Midfield dynamo and average actor.
Chris Toll.
Target man, suspicious character.
And
hey, that's happened to Stevenson.
Welcome to Football Daft, the daftest Scottish football podcast around. I'm Stephen Purden, and let's welcome the starting lineup. First, let's welcome the biggest star of Scott Squad, to everyone else, Cam Spraggins, a.k.a. Shagger, but you and me, he is Chris Toll. How you doing, Chris?
Right, man. How you saying? That was quite the introduction for
that was a good one.
And now a man who's also appeared in Scott Squad, it's Gredo.
Oh, the bants. What's up to?
So much. How are you, boys? He's okay?
Aye.
Captain in Scottish football, anyway.
No, I never mind about football. I just want to tell everybody in Ayrshire that it was that storm last night, a big storm. Oh. We were recording on a Thursday, a big storm on a Wednesday night. A lot of people couldn't get sleep, a lot of fun on listening. That storm's really taking its toll on me. Had the band doing the hatches last night. Not very many got sleep. Many people got sleep in Ayrshire. Just hope everybody's safe.
Well, Gredo was just to clear up. Gredo was late for the recording of this show today, and then in the voice, he left a voice note in the group chat saying there was a terrible storm in Ayrshire last night, and the roads are fucked. It must have been really bad if the roads are fucked. How fucked are the roads?
Well, there's water on the roads, it was flooding down Stevenson Main Street.
What are Ayrshire roads made of?
Concrete.
No wonder they're fucked, Stephen.
The fuck? What else is it, maybe?
Fucking, they're made
of tar. Tar and concrete, fuck it. Move on, man.
Right, let's move on to Gredo's favourite subject. League reconstruction.
Oh.
Gredo, talk me through it. What are you thinking?
I don't have a fucking... I'm switched. I don't know what's happening with reconstructions. I've no idea what's been put on the table. I'm just no interest anywhere. I can't be the only one. I'm just fed up listening to it.
This is the first time I've actually paid attention to it.
Right, tell us.
Reconstruction. I don't know why they've voted it down, to be honest with you. It's ridiculous, honestly. Why can they not do that? This could have a kick-on effect for another couple of seasons.
Well, I think this upcoming season, is going to, I would say, September, October time until it really starts, I think. There's going to be so much. The worrying thing is, and for this podcast, and for mainly Gredo, is we're probably going to be talking about league reconstruction nearly every week. So it's not going to go away, big man.
Honestly, I even find it hard to even buzz when I saw that Rangers were going back to the training other day. And usually when it's like, you see the teams get in for the first time of the season, but I'm just like, I don't know what to look forward to.
What about Johnny Hayes, Paul? You going to miss him?
If he goes. He's gone. He's left Celtic. When he done what he was asked to do to a decent standard, he got a bit of a hassle off the fans and stuff like that. But I thought that he was a good professional. He done what he was asked to do, and he never ever got played in his own correct position. Which is when I guarantee if he signs for Aberdeen and he goes back and they play him in his right position, he'll have a fucking stormer of a season, and the Celtic fans will be like, ah, wow, why did they let him go?
It's almost like he's just had a wee loan spell at Celtic and
then
back to
that loan spell he was out for a year and a half with a bad injury, you know what I mean? Mm. So it's a shame to see him go, because I know that obviously he's a Celtic fan, growing up as a boy playing for any, again, another one that scored a winner in a Celtic Rangers match. So,
what about Cam Berry, Gredo? Would you sign him?
Well, I actually feel very sorry for Cam Berry, and I think he'll be one of these players. If he doesn't get a move, he's always going to remember this. Everybody's going to remember this pandemic, but I feel sorry for him because that the football was taken away from him right at the wrong time. You know what I mean? Because in the games I did see him, he did try, he busted his arse, but whether the quality was there, it remained to be seen.
And I'm just thinking,
he did. But I just think, I don't know if it was enough. I just don't know if it was enough for him to...
We're on 50 grand, but...
I know. That's. I mean, Hibs know that... I mean, are Hibs going to play him again?
He can't go back to Hibs.
And if they're looking at 150 grand, then I would... Would you take the risk?
For 150 grand, probably. It's a guy, you know, the way we train. He's already been there. If it's only going to cost you 150 grand, he's not going to start every week. He's going to be a squad player. Why no?
Right. So, no, I would, as I say, if he doesn't sign for us, then I will feel terrible for him because he didn't get the opportunity to show us what he could do for real.
Right. Hull are meant to be looking at him, Hull City, aren't they?
Right.
Talking a couple of teams down south being interested. If I'm a Rangers fan and wherever it and it's been going on, I'm thinking to myself, buy him for 150,000 and that does damage to one of your opponents as well. You know what I mean? Because if Hibs get, say, 250,000 for him, that's enough to bring in another player.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? So, you never know, man. Certainly looking at it from a Rangers fan's point of view, that's the way that I would be thinking about it.
So on the show today, we have former Dundee United, Celtic and current Brechin manager Mark Wilson, and it's Chris's turn on the Legends Lottery after what people are referring to the Legends Lottery screw job last week when it was revealed Gredo had joined forces with producer John to try and book guests. Disgusting behaviour. Do you agree, Tull? Disgusting.
If he'd reached a hand out to me, it's the cloak and dagger way that it was done.
Aye, it was sneaky.
Right, look, I mean, you put yourself in my shoes, right? The gaffer of the show phones you up and says, look, I can get you this. I can get you what you need. You do not need to worry about this. Mm-hmm. I will take care of you. I will model call you. You know what I mean? You're going to take that.
What?
Model call. You're going to model call you. What the fuck is that? You mollycoddy. You're getting mollycoddied. Then you're going to take
He's going to model call you.
You need to stop on him, man.
That's a fucking shame.
Take your fucking steak. Take your grievances to the producer.
We all know, boys, Gredo works in the front line, okay?
Yes.
You know, the boy's working two or three jobs at the moment. You know, he's doing the podcast, he's doing the radio, he's working on the front line. So, you know, I'd just like to lend a helping hand to those key workers at this point.
Hey, we'll see you at the end of the day.
You've summed it up, John.
End of the day, you fucked it.
Aye. So, Chris.
Yes.
Have you fucked it this week? Have we got something to look forward to?
Well, you'll just need to wait and fucking see, won't you?
Okay, doc. Right. Now, on to yourself again, Tull, the man who has more sources than Chick Young. My favourite part of the show, it is Chris Tull's rumour mill. Here comes the rumour
mill, and I'm not even trying. Well, after the backlash of my reveal of Lanarkshire FC, the talks have broken down.
Right. That's interesting. Broken down.
And now there's extra animosity between Motherwell and Hamilton Accies now.
Aye.
It's like some would say it's almost old firm levels. But aye. I digress. Let me get on to this week's rumour. So I was on Facebook the other day and I was just chatting away, speaking to a couple of footballers, and somebody says to me, he says, listen, I've got a wee story for you for your rumour mill. I says, what's the story? Tell me this story. He says, it's not a rumour, it's fact. I says, what is this fact? He says, remember, Lanarkshire FC? I says, aye. He says, it's all went pear-shaped. I said, right, okay. He says, and this is what's happening now. All four Lanarkshire clubs are going to build a stadium on Strathclyde Park.
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a 10,000 seater, all singing, all dancing. They're all getting in together, and they're going to play their games. Boom, boom, boom. Right. So they're not joining forces. They're just building a big belter stadium. But it's going to be called the Jock Stein Stadium, after Lanarkshire's favourite son.
All right.
So what do you make of that one?
It's good news. I mean, if there's more stadia the better, you know, for our hopes of getting any kind of World Cup games, you know, World Cup tournaments in Scotland and that. It's a good idea.
Right, people are going to poo-poo this, right? But as we all know, M&D's is now out of commission. They've went into liquidation. They're no longer. So M&D's Park isn't there anymore. That's where the stadium's going to be. They're going to build this big stadium there. And it's going to be an absolute topper.
Are they retaining the big wheel near the stadium, Chris?
Well, that's the thing. They're going to incorporate, see all of the carriages, right, the big wheel. It's going to be like VIP boxes, where you get them at the back of the stand and people will go and get you like your drinks and stuff like that during the game and bring them to your wee hang. And if when the game goes like from side to side, you can just do that. You don't need to move your head. Wow. You can just do that and the thing like kind of moves with you.
It's, who's putting the money into it?
Incredible. It's I was going to say his name there, the person that told me this, but I better not, because obviously I don't want to give away my sources. But it's a well-known guy that's been involved in Scottish football with more than one club before.
Is Harry Redknapp involved in this as well?
Well, that's the thing. I think that's part of it, the Harry Redknapp thing. And imagine Harry Redknapp was like the landlord for Albion Rovers. What a buzz that would be. So it's going to be Motherwell, Hamilton, Airdrie and Albion Rovers in the Jock Stein Stadium at the old site of M&D's.
I've got a question, Chris. I've got a question on this. How are they going to play all four gates? You know, because you can understand if it's two teams like Milan and Inter Milan using the San Siro, it's home and away, home and away. How are they going to do all the? How are they going to fulfil their fixtures at the?
Set on the Sunday, Jock probably.
That's the thing. It's going to. That's what a lot of people were asking my source, and he told me he doesn't fucking know.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
So a big thank you to our sponsors, G4 Claims. And if you've been in a road traffic accident and you're not at fault, G4 Claims can make it easy for you. They can provide you with the complete accident management support you'd require. They'll recover the costs from the at-fault party, sort you with a like-for-like vehicle replacement, and they will also organise your vehicle to be repaired at one of their approved body shops and returned to you. Should your vehicle be deemed a write-off, they will recover the pre-accident value for your car and write you a big fat cheque for it. And best of all, it won't cost you a penny, as they charge the at-fault insurance direct. And G4 Claims don't cold call, they don't buy data, and once they've processed your claim, your insurance will remain unscathed. And the best thing is, Nicole and the team over there won't take on your case if they don't think they can help. So if you have been in a road traffic accident or know someone that has, get on to G4 Claims on 01698 767, Greenville's favourite airplane, 172, that's 01698 767 172. Get them at notatfaultclaim.com or find them on social media at G4 Claims Limited. G4 Claims, not at fault claims made easy.
Football Daft's big question.
Now time for the big question. I'm not sure if you boys saw Remy's red card for Milan at the weekend, which looked me like something I would do in a wrestling ring and a tackle. Anyway, it's a good bit of part there, John. Cheers for that. Anyway, it's inspired this week's big question as we asked, what is the best and I guess the worst red card that you've ever seen in football, the glorious game?
The best is got to be Zidane's.
Aye.
Keep but own Materazzi. His bowing out of football on the grandest of stages and sticking the napper right on Materazzi.
Scott, away you go.
Aye.
My best one, quarter final of the World Cup, Uruguay versus Ghana. Ball, Ghana about to put the ball into the net in the last minute of extra time. Suarez dives up, saves it with his horn, goes down and kids on, he's had it off his face.
That's right. His performance was outstanding when he's doing hot in his face and all that. It was so good, man.
Remember the boy at Newcastle? Remember the boy playing for Newcastle? He was down in the deck and the boy had the shot and he put his son up and saved it and then
aye, down. Aye, he could not fucking hurt him.
Everyone down in stages.
These boys get a gig at River City, Stephen.
Oh, with that.
They're not that good.
But I mean, there is a couple of worse ones out there where you just like kind of you go, what a redneck. Like, remember Lafferty's against Aberdeen? Who was it? Was it Foster or
Charlie Mulgrew?
Aye.
Things
like that, man. You cringe and you wince it.
But for dramatic performances, Ronaldo, Suarez, isn't it? Lafferty and Suarez. The way Lafferty went down was
Ronaldo. Everybody kicked off his shin, he went down holding his face and the boy gets sent off. What the fuck? Oh my god, man. What a boy. My favourite, my personal favourite one, which is the worst one for me. I was too young to see, I wasn't born yet, but there was a player called Johnny Doyle that played for Celtic and he got the ball out in the left wing. And he went across the ball and it fucking scalped the referee in the face. The referee got up and sent him off.
Can you do that? Take a look at some of the tweets that we've received, you know. Yeah. I can catch us at Football Daft online. We've got Ewan McLaughlin, Valverde versus Morata. Morata threw in goal in the Spanish Super Cup to win it in the dying minutes, only to be hacked down by Valverde. Apparently Sergio Ramos even shouted, kill him. Beautiful piece of shithousery. Simeone also said he'd have done the same.
That was the best bit. I watched that interview after it. He's getting interviewed. Obviously, you're getting it in English. He's like, I'd have done the exact same thing. We've got Kieran McBride. Zidane World Cup final. Stevie, you've obviously spoke about that one. Apparently, it was a right fuck you, pal.
it was brilliant, man. Like, Niall Kane. Here we go. One of our former guests is getting a mention here. Bob Malcolm, well played for Motherwell, two-footed challenge on Massimo Donati at Celtic Park. The game Motherwell won 1-0. Simon Lappin scored. Big Boba.
Boba would have been happy that day then, eh?
Aye.
Well tough yourself.
You've got Jimmy McKinley. It's got to be Greg Taylor for Kilmarnock on Joey Barton. That was a fucking bad one.
Aye, man.
That was nasty, that one. That was nasty.
That was a fuck you, pal. Wasn't it?
That was.
Morrissey's Alan McGregor against Hibs. I can't remember that. What was that?
I get the boys back. Did they know and get sent off for it?
Oh,
that's when McCrory went in goals.
Oh, I was at that game, I naughty for fuck's sake.
Graham Moore, who says, Queller handball at Celtic Park and the fan commentary that went with it. I remember that.
Alan Kidd. Alec Clellan for having enough of Del Piero up in the fish.
It absolutely tore him about three arseholes that night, man.
There's going to come a point where you just go fucking like, hear you. Know what I mean? Debo is actually what the first one I thought of when you mentioned one. Kyriakos getting booked for a bad on Celtic in the League Cup, then sarcastically claps the referee. Claps at the Celtic fans cheering the booking and getting booked again and sent off for it.
I think clapped the referee, no?
No, he was clapping the referee. He was definitely clapping the referee, wasn't he?
I would say he got the booking and then I think it was the classic case of the...
Aye, well done, mate. Dafty. Well done, Dafty.
But and then it's just... I remember he's turning round and he's still doing it. He's turning round and the refs just kind of caught him. And right there and went, boom. So it was like basically, aye. So aye. Thanks to all the listeners for all your red card stories and... Grado.
Yeah, so just like thanks fans for following us. You know, it's always good to hear feedback and any other feedback you want to just get in touch at Football Daft on Twitter.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Get them now at notatfaultclaims.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Legends Lottery on Football Daft.
Hey,
on Football Daft, we have made it our mission to find out where the cult heroes are now on our Legends Lottery. Each week, one of the team is tasked with finding a former club legend, well, apart from Grado, from Scottish football and getting them on the show. Then it's up to you, the listener, to rate how good out of five the guest was after last week's rating for... Well, no, last week. It was last week, Stevie Smith, wasn't it? That was a rating last week, but Grado...
What did I get?
Well... I'm sitting on 7.6 after the punters gave me a good rating for old Stevie Smith. Grado is still on 0.
Yeah, I'm on 0.
Aye, because mate, you didn't. You and John collaborated, remember, and came up with fuck all.
I'm calling it the Legends Lottery screw job, Grado.
Aye, the Legends Lottery screw job between producer John and Grado. Now, it's Chrissy's turn, who's currently on 6.1 with Hibs legend Mickey Weir and the one and only Jerry Pellini.
Yep.
So, lads, Chris, you can talk us through this now, mate.
Lads, there's no greater cult hero to Football Daft than the one and only Mr. Ewan Cameron.
No way, man.
This is
fuck.
I thought Ewan, it was the Legends Lottery.
Ewan, every week we bring on a legend of Scottish football, right?
Why am I here?
Because you couldn't find anything. A Football Daft, mate. You're a legend of Football Daft. And as much as I rip the piss out of you, you're an alright guy at times. So I thought, we'll get Ewan on, get the chat.
So we're kissing his arse here.
So basically, the competition is between you lot to bring on a football legend. The best you can do, Toll, is me.
Aye, good to know you still listening to the show, you prick.
Thanks. Aye, thanks.
I'm playing the game, mate. You know, I'm a media personality. I've been playing the game. I know how to play the game. I fucking know what yous are doing. Should do it every week and bringing on legends.
Where's your beard? You don't look right.
I just had a shave earlier. So what is it? I just need to talk shite or what is it?
Well, that's okay, this is good.
I got Stephen Smith on the week before last. We talked about his career at Rangers and that. So can you just talk about your career at like other radio shows and stuff?
I'll tell you what, Ewan, if you want, tell us what you've been doing since you left Football Daft.
Sturgeon, you interviewed Sturgeon, didn't you? That's the big news.
That went viral. That went viral. Good.
Right, lads. See, to get him on the show yesterday, and I'll get you in to show you the conversation. I said, see if he's come on. Grado and Bob's reaction will go viral. And see, when I said that, he went, I know, bother, I'll come on the show.
There's a story behind this viral thing, which there's no point in getting into it. But what I will say is this, pardon, any more of your shit, and I'm going to be rage quitting.
Don't do that. So anyway, Ewan, you're a big Hearts fan, aren't you? What's been happening with Hearts these days?
Wait, hold on a minute, Toll. When you asked me to come on yesterday, what did I say to you?
Don't ask me about Hearts.
What did I say to you?
Don't ask me about Hearts.
What's the fucking first thing you do?
Well, listen, I wouldn't be a good journalist if I didn't try to get the answers, Ewan.
He's only learning for the best, mate.
I'm sure if you can understand yourself being a journalist of such high standing, we want to get the meat off the bones of the questions. So you can either answer or you can rage quit. It's up to you.
Well, let me first of all ask you, because I've not had a chance to speak to you since it happened. What's it like winning in your 8 3/4 Premier League championship?
Listen, Ewan, you remember, like, for the last 4 or 5 years, every year you've said to me, Celtic are only going to win the league this year. I tell you what, you'll not do another treble. And every single time that you've said it, it's been flung right back in your face, isn't it? Because, listen, I'm only here as a friend. I want to know how you're feeling about what's going on with your club, Ewan. That's all I'm asking.
I would say that Ann Budge has been exemplary throughout the entire situation around Neil Doncaster, the SPFL. I think she's played a blinder. See, at the end of the day, Hearts are in the position because we'd only won 4 games out of 30 before the enforced break because of the pandemic. And I've said very little about the subject matter on social media. And the reason for that, because I've just been watching what's been going on. And I had a couple of things to say about Neil Doncaster and the SPFL. And they're a joke. I mean, it's a joke outfit. It's outdated. It needs sorting out. It needs modernising. There's too much self-interest. There's not enough thinking for the greater good of the game. So I think throughout it all, Ann Budge has played a blinder. And I think now that Hearts are basically going to delay the start of the season by taking the SPFL to court. And I think we'll win it. I think there's clearly somebody, there's people out there that she clearly knows has given her the advice, you've got a strong case to go and win this. And if that's the case, they're either going to win a shitload of money and they'll have to stay in the championship, or there will be some sort of reconstruction of the league. They'll be forced into doing something. Hearts either get a load of money out of it from compensation, or the league will be reconstructed. I don't see Hearts losing this court battle. No way. There's not a chance. And the thing is, with the SPFL not wanting it to drag on. And you know how long court cases can take. Uh-huh. So they're hoping to start in August. Never in a month of Sundays is this league starting in August.
And that's the thing as well, which seeing you say that, if they do start the league and this court case is still going on, then that puts an asterisk next to everything.
Chris, you clearly can't start a league championship when there is court proceedings going on, when the court could, a month or two down the road, go, no, what you did was wrong. Hearts need to be back in the big time. Or you pay Hearts X amount of millions of pounds to keep them quiet and keep them where they are for compensation.
I think the way that you're talking about it, I think that probably the easiest way is reconstruction, mate. I think actually the easiest way, and I know that they've voted against it and stuff like that, but like you said, if it's going to delay the start of the season, the SPFL might just decide, listen, we need to do this, whether it goes to another vote or something.
Mate, did you not see the quote the other day there from the Albion Rovers boss who said, oh, we voted against reconstruction because they didn't want the bus fare to Brora? That's true. The Albion Rovers boy says, we talked about the day before the meeting and before we decided whether we wanted a reconstruction. He says no, because it was going to cost them too much money to get to Brora. They'd have to leave at 6:30 in the morning. They'd have to stop off for a meal, the bus fare, the cost for the meal and the petrol. That's the reason being. How many meals did they have in here? But you know what I mean? That's how ridiculous and stupid Scottish football is, that they're voting because they don't want to pay for a bus to go to Brora.
Do you know what? I've said it numerous times. I've got an Albion Rovers affinity, but I hope they draw Brora in every cup possible now.
Did you not see that?
No, I never seen it, mate. Honestly, no. I've not been paying attention to social media really.
You're meant to be the premier football podcast in Scotland. You know, keep an eye on what's being said on Scottish football.
I didn't leave that to me, mate.
It's just like sitting in the pub with your pals. What have you been up to? I've seen you in a while, mate.
That's just all about.
I know, but normally legend would come on and talk about their career and the dressing rooms and the players and all that stuff. And you're just saying to me, what have you been up to? I've been doing what everybody else has been doing. I've been doing nothing because we've all been stuck in the house. You can't go 5 miles out with your area. I've just been going backwards and forward to work. I've been sitting in my house. I painted my wall. Do you see my wall?
I see, but I mean, this is what's all about.
Right, this is not wallpaper. This is paint. We stenciled it, me and my wife. You ready?
That's
better not be a channel.
That's hoaching.
Did you just do that to your wall because of the amount of times you were punching it, throwing things off it every time I punch it?
Pardon keeps trying to reel me in with the chat about FIFA, and I'm not buying it.
What's happening with this? I'll believe you, and you tell me what's happening, because I trust you'll tell me the truth, mate.
Right, see the thing when it came to this FIFA tournament that me and Pardon were in, right? When I beat him for the first time, 7-4, he started this nonsense on social media about pass the pad. I apparently passed the controller over to my 19-year-old son to play the game for me. Bull. Absolute bull. I won that game fair and square. Pardon, on the other hand, put this rumour out there because he's a sore loser.
Can I just intervene for a minute? After you beat me 7-4, can we talk about all the other games after that? How many you won?
Listen, it doesn't matter because you know why. It doesn't
matter because you never won fuck off.
Mate, can I actually just put this, and I hate saying this as a Hearts man, on FIFA 20, right, Hearts are a 3-star team or a 2.5-star team. You've got a 4-star team. You've got
exactly.
more pace than me.
I was
You've
always going to bump me, so why would you bump me a gum saying you were going to bump me?
But it's like Rangers going up against an Albion Rovers or something in real life, but when it comes to FIFA, you're way better than me, so you're always going to beat me.
What happens when we went to 5-star teams each?
Yeah, man. Hold on a minute, Stevie. You know, he's actually just said, you're better than me at FIFA. You were always going to beat me. That's a win. Take your win.
No, it's not. He beat me because he had the better team. Anyway, I'm not talking about FIFA. I don't talk about the past. I only talk about the future.
What's happening in the future then?
Hearts are going to bring Scottish football to its knees, and Scottish football will be begging Hearts to not take on that court action, and either the SPFL and the rest of the Scottish football league are going to have to pay Hearts a shitload of compensation, or they're going to have to reconstruct the leagues so that Partick, Stranraer and Hearts don't get relegated. It's that simple. It'll be one of two things, and the third option, which is that Hearts will lose that legal challenge, ain't going to happen. Hearts will not lose this legal challenge, so it's either money or put us back into the Premiership.
What would you prefer, the money or put back in the Premiership?
Hearts have already got a really good, strong foundation anyway, with our fans who pump in 2-3 million a season, and Budge. You've also got some money men behind the scenes who don't want to be named, who are helping at Hearts as well. I want to get back into the Premier. I want to get back into the Premiership and put Hibs right back in their place.
Right.
A strong words from you and Cameron there. Thank you. Right, we'll see you later on, mate.
Can I see what else I did in my living room?
Nah.
No.
Bye, boys.
Hey, you're good.
Thanks, see you later, yeah, mate.
Bye,
bye.
See you later, man. Yeah, cheers.
Bye, man.
Fuck
me,
there
man.
You go. Is that a nice wee surprise, guys?
That was good, mate. Put me in the map, that boy.
Put me in the map, that boy.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
Now I'm going to hand over to John, the producer, who's going to tell us something he's been raving about. It's that thing called Stitch Fix.
But you boys heard of this?
Nah, tell us about it.
So basically, it's like an online personal shopper who will sort out like loads of clobber for both men and women, right? They get expert stylists, pick out a bunch of clothes for you based on your taste, size, and price preference, and then they'll send all the clothes direct to your door.
So you put in like what you weigh, what you're into, who you want to look like.
You go through a whole questionnaire, like I went through it today, and you like pick, it's like, what would you wear out of this? Or do you like short sleeve shirts? Do you like T-shirts? What brands do you like?
That sounds good.
Do you like Superdry? Do you like Lyle and Scott? Do you like all this sort of stuff? And it basically then send you a whole bunch of codes through. So basically, you fill out this profile with your preferences. You say how you want to pay. And then the stylist will pick out like 5 items, like clothing, like T-shirts, shirts, trousers, accessories, maybe a bum bag in your case, Gradle.
Tell you there.
You try them on, decide what you fancy. Then you pay for what you want and you send the rest back with a free return. So it's
brilliant.
So there's basically a charge, I think, like £10 each month for like the stylist time, but that's redeemable against anything you buy. So just say you get clothes every 3 months, you get clothes every month, you get clothes every couple of weeks. They'll take that £10 that you pay and they'll redeem it against the clothes. So do you know what I mean? So they'll take that.
You get your tenner off the clothes.
Aye, so you get that. So you'll get the
you're tenner. Not really paying anything for their time at all.
Oh, really? Not really, no. It's just really good. So my wife's been on it and she's always on to me saying I dress like shite pretty much.
Shite.
Mm-hmm. So she's like, go and get yourself signed up for that. So actually, I did it today and I think I'm getting my delivery in a week's time or something like that.
Wow, well, you know what, today, as soon as you get that in, I want you to stand in front of the mirror, take a nice big selfie, and we're going to rate you how good you look.
This is going to be a bit of trouble for Stephen and Gredo, because they only do small to extra, extra large.
I saw what you done there too.
Listen, I might be weird than Stevie, but everybody, I'm a fat bastard, so I wear a medium. So I'm right in the fucking age range, man.
Oh, that is mad, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm on there now, like, hundreds have got, like, if you, I have to say, like, women absolutely love it. So if you want to get in your good books with a wife or girlfriend.
My wife's sitting here now. She's not.
Get her on this right now, because there's hundreds of stuff to choose from. So get on there. stitchfix.co.uk/daft. stitchfix.co.uk.
Spell that out for us, John.
stitchfix.co.uk/daft. And if you go on that, fill in all that, you'll get some decent clobber sent through it and you'll be looking the part.
Aye. John, your missus is going to regret what she said, because you are going to be absolutely stunning. What you pick up for Stitch Fix, you're going to be, the women are going to be.
I want a wee before and after. Get a wee before, before the clobber you're wearing, and then when Stitch Fix have
rigged you.
See, the thing is, John, have they got a section for full cup tops?
No, I have to take that off in the preferences, Jesus.
Let's welcome to the show a man who started off his career at Dundee United before moving to Celtic, where he won three league titles, a Scottish Cup and a League Cup. He now works as manager of Brechin City, as well as being a pundit on Super Scoreboard. It's Mark Wilson. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What's been happening anyway? How's tricks?
All right. Aye, fine. Same as everybody else. Just getting a bit bored now with lockdown and wanting to get outside and play, but especially on the football side, I want to get back and you know, start managing Brechin again after a escape from relegation, thanks to the league vote.
What an achievement, mate. What an achievement. See,
hey, I've got it in the CV, Chris.
Never took East to escape relegation. That is some achievement, man.
Hey, it's still going on the CV. I get asked to keep Brechin up, so it didn't matter what way I did it, COVID or no. Still a one, I'm happy.
Wasn't the year it started, was it?
Some say it was the only way I was going to get Brechin to steal if I started some sort of pandemic, but listen, no, we're happy. Unfair, isn't it? Unfair in Kelty and Broda. Still feel that there was something that could have been done about that, but I obviously didn't happen. And, you know, it looks like we're just not going to crack on with it when we get the green light to go back.
So, talking about getting back, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, are you going to be giving a wee bit of support for the board and stuff like that, and hopefully try and get a better squad on the pitch? Or have they gave you any sort of idea of what's been happening because of the COVID?
I've been in touch with the board all the way through it. It's a strange situation because the things have kept changing, you know, week by week. We're the same as any other team in Scottish football, so it just keeps. Things keep shifting, and it didn't look good. I'll be honest, it didn't look good probably a couple of weeks ago for teams like Brechin in terms of starting back. You know, the idea was muted that we might not kick a ball again until next August, you know, just put everything on hold. And then the boy James Anderson comes in and he offers his money, and that's maybe made a wee difference, you know, because it allows us to, or affords us, or clubs like us, to test players. That's a big stomping point. Premiership teams can maybe afford to fork out $4,000 and $5,000 a week to test players. But when you come down to our level, I mean, how can you do that? We can't afford that. That's your wage bill. You know what I mean? We simply can't afford that. So the sticking point we've got just now is how we get back. We use community facilities. So how can you control that, where you're going into to test players? And that's going to be difficult. And that's the point we're at ourselves. League 2, League 1 clubs are similar, apart from like Thistle and Falkirk maybe, who are a wee bit different, but the rest of the clubs, it's going to take a lot to think a way around this.
Brechin City, have they been doing it into like sort of fundraise through the pandemic? A lot of the teams have maybe done wee kind of online raffle tickets or something, you know, that you can buy for the when the pandemic's over, they can maybe like win a dinner with a team or anything like that. Have Brechin been doing it like to raise it?
Aye, well, the funny thing is, right, is at the transfer window, because we were in dire needs of funds to try and help us survive the league, the club came up with the idea of putting together this fighting fund. So they put it to the fans for a fighting fund for transfer funds. And it was obviously great. The people of Brechin, it's only a small town, remember, you know, put our hands in our pockets and the, they contributed. We raised a good bit of money to allow me to go and get players. And then, obviously, this happens, and teams are fundraising. And the club kind of swithered whether it was morally right to ask again to do that. They came to the decision, well, that's what we've got to lose. So, again, they put it out there to the fans, and the fans responded. It's amazing when you think, you know, these wee towns and wee clubs, they still have a core fan base that's willing to help their club survive. It's amazing. So, the fans have put in their money again just to keep the club ticking over in the period where we weren't quite sure what was happening with furlough and things. So, you know, entirely grateful to the people who you know, need the money themselves. A lot of people at work just now, but they're willing to put their money, 10 or 20, 50 quid into a club who, let's get it right, wasn't doing so well all season.
That's amazing. Like, under the current like pandemic and everything that's going on, that is just an amazing gesture. But for the fans, that shows a right togetherness, but doesn't it, with the fan base and the club?
I see when you look at it, but even breaking, but all the way through, it's amazing. It's like to the top, Celtic Rangers guys, all these guys that are buying season tickets without knowing. I mean, I had a guy I was speaking to, spent what, £600 or £700 in a season ticket for Celtic Park, and doesn't know what he's getting with that. But it works all the way down, you know, the fans keep the clubs going.
So I think you were saying there about the fighting fund. I think Albion Rovers have got something like that put in place as well. And I donated a wee bit to that because obviously it's my local club, do you know what I mean? But
I've sponsored an Russian Winton Rovers player, David Donalds. If you listen, do well this season, me man. That's a Winton player. Good right back. Going to be in the programme, sponsored by Gredo.
You used to get the player sponsors at the back of the match.
Brilliant.
Oh, painters
and decorators and all that. Who sponsored you, Mark, back in the day?
By the way, I'm no joking, right? See that was a good thing. See, at Dundee United, that's how you kind of knew if you were doing all right or one of the shite players or less light players, if you like. Because at the start of the season, you'd flip to the back of the programme, and if all your home, your away, and your third strip was sold out with sponsors, you knew you were doing all right. And your guys like Charlie Miller and that, he had like three sponsors for his home tops and three, you know, they had the big columns. But I was always happy if I just had the three covered. And then you'd get the guys further down the list who just had still for sale, call this number to sponsor.
Imagine putting that in the programme, actually.
I know. I was demoralising if you didn't have a sponsor.
That's funny.
So you're talking about Dundee United, Mark. You're a Cope Bridge boy. So what led to the move to Dundee United?
I was at school at St Ambrose in Cope Bridge, and we had a scout there. Dundee United had a scout there, and he was my guidance teacher at school. And, you know, I was playing with Dundee United Boys Club anyway, and they kind of amalgamated into the kind of pro youth or whatever you wanted to call it at that time. I was at the stage where the boys clubs were kind of ending and getting into this pro youth, and there's been a lot of debate about that, whether it was right or wrong. So I was in about that. The scout, Graham Livingston, he was at Holy Cross, he was a main scout, and just, you know, went training with they had a Glasgow base. United at that time got a lot of their players through the West Coast, and they got a lot of success throughout the years. You know, you look at Billy McKinley and guys like Duncan Ferguson, obviously for the Stirling area, I think he was, but a lot of other good players, Robbie Winters and all that, was done this way. And I just followed that suit, and you know, played pro youth, played reserve football while I was still at school, and then when I'd done my standard grades, I was coming up to finish, United offered me a contract when I was 15. I was turning 16 in the June, and I could start pre-season training on the, I think it was something like the 26th of June when I was 16. I says, aye, it's a no-brainer. You know, a two-year apprenticeship with a professional club in the top league. You know, I was never going all that, but I was all right at school as well, but listen, you're getting paid not that much money, but it was a gateway in, an opportunity in, so I took it.
What did you get your standard grades?
What did I get? By the way, what did I get? I got, well, it's no A's and B's, it was 1s and 2's.
That's it. I get two, yous, two 1's, two 2's, four 3's.
You might have done better than me. I got a 1.
I'm older than you.
Yeah. Is that what you go, Gredo?
I got a 1 for English, 1 for business management, a 2 for computing, 2 for music, a 3 for French, 3 for maths, 3 for physics, and 3 for chemistry.
What? On this programme one time say that you cheated on music, though.
That's right. That was my higher music.
So that
was my
higher.
I didn't play the guitar. That's right, my mate played the guitar for me. The tutor, the examiner was behind the piano, and I fucking played away, but it wasn't me, it was my mate in the background playing it. Like, I fucking,
surely now all his grades have got to be up for questioning.
I tainted standard grades.
Tainted. Put an asterisk beside that.
Behind the ones and twos, my boy.
So see how when you were at Dundee United, I think you were exposed to the likes of Charlie Miller and Latipay and stuff like that. What were these characters like in the Dundee United locker room?
Amazing. I mean, what a group of players to grow up. I was always quite quiet. Didn't drink back then. You know, just, as I say, just quite an
introvert. Until you met Charlie Miller?
Well, Charlie showed me what drinking was. You know, he was unreal. You know, the guy could turn up hungover to training and still be the best player by far. He's some man. But Charlie, well, you know Charlie, what he's like. You know, what a character he is. One of the best players that I've played with. And that was kind of his tail end, his career at United. But just what a guy off the pitch as well he was. You know, just
he's
taking...
a great guy, Charlie.
Taking people under his wing. Foreigners, any foreigners came to the club, Charlie was the first guy who would invite them into his house, or you know, take them about the town, quite often to one of the boozers and get them pissed right enough. But with myself, Charlie looked after me, you know, always made sure I was all right, you know, gave me advice. But in the dressing room, it was a brilliant dressing room. Wee Russell as well. You mentioned Wee Russell. Aye. He came, just what a talent, you know. Never out the toilet smoking, Russell. loved a fag. But they boys were brilliant.
And that's what somebody explained to me once. Said he drank like a fish and smoked like a chimney. Russell Lappy.
Russell, it was great. He loved, what was the night? Was it Trash on a Tuesday night? He loved that, didn't he? Loved that.
Trash on a Tuesday night, man. They were great days, man.
Oh, what's that? I don't know which Trash. Tell me about Trash. I'm an Ayrshire boy. What's that?
It's bumped down now, mate. Used to be in the toilet, man. Bumped down. I think Russell must have been smoking in the toilet and bumped it down, man.
But that was the place to go on a Tuesday night, apparently. I mean, I was too young for it, but Russell would turn up, you know, on a Wednesday. We were training with the old bloodshot eyes and still half-canned, but he would still be brilliant. But just amazing. We had an experienced dressing room at that time. If you look at them all now, they're all managers or coaches in their own right. You know, Derek McInnes and Alan Archibald at Thistle and Jim McIntyre, Dodgy as well, Charlie, you know, on the one dressing room. So it was quite strong.
You worked under Ian McCall as well, didn't you, Mark?
Aye. Ian came in. I broke through under Alex Smith, and then Alex got the sack, and there was, you know, Morris Malpass and Heggie took care for a bit, and it was just makeshift. Then Ian came in, and Ian was, you remember, the up-and-coming manager at Falkirk. I think they battered Hearts in the cup, and Colin Samuel might have scored a hat-trick, and his stock was rising. United gave him a good contract, and he came in. And he was just so different, if I'm honest, compared to Alex Smith and Morris and that. He was, you know, the way Ian is, you know, very outspoken, very sure of himself. And he was great for United. It was what United needed. He put a lot of trust in me. He dropped me at first, right enough. He wasn't sure of me at first. He dropped me at the team. And maybe it was a kick up the arse I needed, kind of. Brought me back in shortly after. And he made a 4-4-2, but he didn't put a right mid. Mark Kerr was in front of me, but he played him narrow and allowed me to bomb up and down that right-hand side. And just made me into a kind of wing back, and I probably played a lot of my best stuff under him. Eventually, got the move after that, you know, after a couple of seasons. So I'm grateful to him for that.
Did we get any belters about Ian McCall?
I mean, I don't know how funny. It wasn't funny for us as players, but when he came in and he lost. I mean, you can see his temper sometimes in the touchline, but he's calmed down a bit now. But I remember one time against Aberdeen, we were losing 2-0 at Tannadice, and he absolutely flipped his lid. I think it's probably the worst rant I've ever seen from a manager. It was the old treatment table is in the middle of the changing room with all the sandwiches and fucking tea and everything on it. And he came in and he lost it, and he tipped the full thing up, you know, and sandwiches. I'd never seen anything like that before in my life. Just, but you couldn't even hear what he was saying. It's just, you know, that way spit coming out of his mouth and just getting raging. And I thought, how in management can you get that angry at Eton? I just thought that's just a new level. And see, to be fair, we went out and won 3-2. And that was just, that's just his type of management. But he was brilliant. I think he's mellowed a bit now. But in the early days at United, he could certainly have lost it. It wasn't shy in telling you.
As you moved to Celtic under Gordon Strachan in 2005, was that a boyhood dream come true?
Aye, it was. Because I'm not that far from Celtic Park, so just about 5-10 minutes along the road in Broomhouse. You know, went to the games. You know, Powell very kindly gave me a season ticket, and you know, lived through a lot of the rubbish years as a Celtic fan, if I'm honest, through the 90s where Rangers were just romping it. So it was always a dream to get there. And that was a special day going. But I mean, when I went there...
Yeah, hold on a minute. Who was the brother I met at Tina Park? They said you were a Rangers fan.
Well, he's not my brother. Aye, that was my mate. Remember that? You remember that?
Aye, he told me you were a Rangers fan.
Was he? He's a Rangers fan.
Aye, that'll be why he's done it then. That was great, man. It was no Gallagher was on that night, I think.
No Gallagher. Took me 4 hours to get home, right enough.
That was a nightmare. Denny McInnes was there that day, I know.
I met him. I met him last night.
What a freeze, man. What a day we had there. Fucking Stephen, weren't we?
Hey,
oh, that's enough said, eh? That's plenty. Anyway, so what was the leaving side for Celtic?
Wasn't as good as that day at Tina Park, I'll tell you that.
Mark, is it true that she, before you signed for Celtic, did you knock back Man City and Everton?
It was earlier on when I got a chance to sign for Dundee United. Man City offered me a contract to go for school. They offered me quite a good contract. I've spoken about it before. They offered me like £400 a week and accommodation, a house for my man Da. And I knocked that back for £80 a week at Dundee United and staying in Diggs. But I don't regret that. Everton was interested when the move was coming about. And I think Wolves and somebody else. But there was never anything concrete for them. I was always kind of either interested. They've came to watch you several times. They might make a bid. But Celtic were, as soon as I heard Celtic were interested, then, you know, I was hoping that they would make a concrete bid. And they matched the buyout clause in my contract, which was £500,000. And that was it. It was pretty easy.
It's not often that Celtic actually pay the money for somebody, even if it's only £500,000. Do you know what I mean?
I know. I think that was a struggle as well. But we got there in the end.
Nae hoose for your mum and dad there, no? They know for you that.
Teams,
as I think it's that always just for like when if you're a youngster and you need to move and hustle down south, that's when they do it.
It was a lot of I used to hear it a lot when I was coming through, all the younger ones, you know, there was a lot much better players than me were doing it, like Chelsea and Man United and all these clubs. Blackburn, Man City were big at the time and they would die. They'd try and get the players done. And because they were running about that many clubs, these boys were going and sort of playing them off each other. It was whoever had the best offer. Often clubs would say, listen, to make you feel more comfortable, we'll relocate your family.
Aye, but does your man feel they have to really consider that? Because that's like...
Well, I don't know. My man and dad are living in a council house. They still are just now. So they were probably gutted when I turned it down of a month.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? But I was grateful enough to them that they made up my decision, which is quite, you know, it was quite good of them when I was 15-year-old.
Imagine that, like your mum and dad. Just take it, son. Take it.
On you go, come on.
I've always liked that, Everton.
Phoning you every day, the mum going like, your dad, no, what's he thinking today? He's still fucking saying no. do you remember your first training session? Was it like?
Aye, it was a tough day, that. Aye, it was nerve-wracking, to be honest. Tough day, brought in and come through a smaller club at United to Celtic. The professionalism was through the roof, so I was taken away with a steward taking up gym with a fitness coach. I didn't have a fitness coach at Dundee United or anything like that. Putting the treadmill, big oxygen mask on, made to do the VO2 max, which is a nightmare. to get how fit my actual fitness levels. And then straight back down. I met Roy Keane in the gym that day. That was the first morning. You know what I mean? That was amazing. Then straight back down. So the VO2 max, you do obviously to your maximum. You run till you're finished. And I thought that might have been it. But now, of course, straight out to training to Barrowfield. And you're playing, you know, you've got a Toro set up, you know, the big circle. John Hartson, Alan Thompson, Petrov, Lenny, you know, Keane, all these guys. And zipping the ball about for 10 minutes. And I'm chasing it. I can't get anywhere near it. You know, and it's near, and that's before the training starts. And then you're into training. And it's the passing drills were just, you know, different class. Just crisp, the games. And I was absolutely humped at the end of it. And then Strachan was big into his fitness. Got another running set right after it. All the players used to get his running every Tuesday. And I was pumped by the end of it. And I thought, I can't believe the level at United, who I thought were a good standard, to Celtic. And that was day one of training. So it took me a bit to kind of adapt to that level of professionalism and what it took, the levels of fitness. It just wasn't about your ability. You had to be on it.
So there was no Russell Lattipy, there was no like Russell Lattipy in the toilets having a fag or anything.
I seen that big Arthur Boric did like the occasional packet of fags, not just one, but he could get away with it, big Arthur, because he was away with the goalies, so he didn't need to do any of the running, but no, the rest of the boys weren't big into Regal King size at that time.
What was Roy Keane like in the dressing room?
He was all right, actually. He was quite quiet. He was good with the young ones. You know, myself, Maloney, McGeady, Darnaday, you know, Big Mick McManus and that. If we were ever at the gym, Roy Keane was about. He would take time ever up at lunch. He would sit with us at the table and he would chat old stories and that. So he was a lovely guy. And then he went in the training pitch and he was Roy Keane, if you know what I mean. And he wasn't the one to mess with. His standards were that high. It was hard for me to live up to them. Mate, I'll hold my hands up.
Ever take you out in the training field? Did he ever take you out?
He wiped me out when I've said it before. But one day we're in training, wet day, pissing the rain, and I run out to close him down near the corner flag, and I slip, lose my footing. And I go down and I clip his leg and he goes down. And it was almost like nobody was allowed to tackle him. And he gets up and he stares right through me like you wouldn't believe. Doesn't he say a word? And I say, I'm sorry about that. And just walks by me. Honestly, 5 minutes later, switch of play comes from left back to right back and I see him just charging through about the centre circle out to the right back position. And I see him coming. And I just anticipate it and take my touch forward out of his way. He's not interested in the ball, is he? He just scissors me, waist high, takes me out, and just gets up and doesn't say it. Just walks away. Same demeanour. Strachan, everybody just went silent. Strachan just, right, play on. That's us, play on. Didn't say it. Everybody was terrified to say it. And myself included. And then we got back to Celtic Park. We were training at Barrowfield at that time, and I can't remember who it was, Darnaday or something, said, "What about that challenge?" And then everybody burst out laughing, and then he came in the dressing room and gave a wee smirk, but didn't say it. But that's the kind of guy he was. He was like, if you play, you know, boxes, you know, and guys that listen to us play boxes, 6v2 or whatever, his standard on that was incredible. Aye. But he would shell the ball at you, shell at you knee height. And any other player, you would go, right, that was my fault, I'll go in for that. He wouldn't move. He would shell it at you and bounce off your knee, and you'd go, you need to go in for that. That's a terrible pass. No, no him. He would just stare right through you. And it was like a kind of a battle of wills. And obviously, everybody else lost apart from him. Everybody went in for him. It was an incredible experience playing with him.
Who was mentor? Him or Gravison?
Oh, fuck, Gravison. Gravison was... Roy, listen, Roy Keane was a respectable, like, adult, if you know what I mean. A guy who was just down to earth but fierce on the pitch. Gravison was a maniac. I've you know, said loads about him and you've heard loads about him, but you still think that people might be making some of that up. I think he was worse because people forget some of the things he did on a day-to-day basis. He was just an absolute crazy guy. And yet, you need to remember, this guy came from Real Madrid. It's not as if he came from a Dundee United or something. He came from Real Madrid, playing with Beckham and Ronaldo and all these guys. And he came to us and he was the class clown. Brilliant.
Gave one of his tales.
Gravesen used to, he had this habit of dry humping everybody. You know, dry, just kidding on, he was riding everybody. I mean everybody. I think the only person exempt was the boss, Strachan. I mean, he would grab physio, so if you were just standing and Tommy would come in a room, he would grab you. Now he was strong as an ox, this guy. Arms run you from behind you and proper bend you up and have a good ride at you, and you couldn't get him off. So you just kind of, you had to like play dead. Like if a spider catches a fucking a wasp or something, it just plays dead. That's what you had to do to get off you, and then you could make your escape. But he was brilliant. Strachan says to his one time, I remember Strachan says to his one time on a, I think it was a Rangers game, he says, nobody get involved. Nobody get involved with the ref. Don't speak to the ref. We need everybody on the pitch. These games are important. Keep your head. Anybody gets involved with the ref, you'll get a fine. And of course, so we're all kind of lining up in our dressing room waiting to go out, and the door goes, the ref. The ref was always barring the door, and Gordon would always kind of make his way back and bang, bang, bang. And Tommy opened the door and says, sorry, lad. He used to speak with that stupid Liverpudlian accent. Sorry, lad. We're not allowed to speak to you, and shut the door in his face. And that was just lying. I mean, everybody's got the serious face on, and he opens that door and says to the ref, sorry, we're not allowed to speak to you, and shuts the door before you go in front of 60,000. He was class. He was brilliant.
You touched on it, but that was the Rangers game. Was that the Rangers game that you had done the business?
No, he was it?
No, Tommy was away by that time. He was long gone.
Jeff was in that game. I remember that. That was, I know, the Alan Acoist and the touchline. Neil Lennon was at that game.
That game. Jeff had just came to Rangers, hadn't he? And that's, he was right. The game was before that, the game at Ibrox.
Was that the cup game? Was that like the cup replay? Parkhead, after you drew, Scott Brown scored at the Ibrox, and you drew two each, and then wasn't it?
Aye. So that's what happened with that Bruni celebration. Jeff and him were going at it. Bruni was playing right mid at Ibrox that day. I was playing right back. So it was me and him with Jeff, and the two of them were going at it all day. You know, just all half. There was a wee kind of scuffle in the tunnel at half time, going up the tunnel. I was further ahead, so I wasn't quite sure what had happened, but I knew Bruni and him were saying head words in the tunnel. And of course then the second half, Scott gets the ball and he puts in the top bin, and you couldn't have timed it any better who was standing next to him. To have the thought though, I know going away and celebrating, but just standing there, I mean, it must have took a lot for him to do that, and it became iconic for him. And then I scored in the replay.
You scored in the replay. The goal itself, how you managed to get that in on the rebound. Like, see the first shot that you hit, I've never seen anybody hit a ball sweeter than the first shot that you hit, right? Then when it comes back out, you kind of volley it into the ground. That's the only part of that goal that the ball kind of fucking went into that day. And it went in, man. It must have been some feeling to score the winner.
I know. It was weird, wasn't it? How it managed to bounce and then bounce in. I know it was no the way I'd imagined it. But no, it was some feeling because, as I say, I grew up with Rangers pumping Celtic all the time. Been to many games where they did. And you know what it's like when you're a wee guy? You want to be out there, you know, helping your team against Rangers or Celtic, whatever side you're on. So when I was out there playing in the games, it was brilliant. But to score one and then end up being the winner was an unbelievable feeling. You know, you can't describe it. It's hard to describe it because it's what you... the old cliche, it is a dream. But it is a dream when you're a Rangers or Celtic fan. Your dream is to play and score.
It's living the dream, mate. You've lived the dream, do you know what I mean? You've played for your boyhood club. You've scored against Rangers. Would you say that's your highlight at Celtic? What is your ultimate highlight of your time at Celtic?
Either that, or I always remember my first Champions League game for Celtic, because again, when I was a wee boy growing up, I watched the Champions League. It was always on ITV. Watched Man United constantly through all that run to the winning the Champions League. And then just by chance, in the first year I'm at Celtic, we get to the Champions League group stages. We draw Man United in their first games at Old Trafford, you know, and I couldn't believe it. And I was selected in the starting lineup that night. And standing there at Old Trafford when that tune comes on, I mean, it was unbelievable. See, I was something. I think there was 70,000 there. Celtic had maybe 10,000 fans or something along those lines. And you're lined up against these guys who a lot of them had watched on the telly. You know, Scholes and I think Neville and Giggs certainly played that night. And it was brilliant coming up against them. So that and obviously scoring against Rangers, aye, brilliant.
See, just before you scored the goal against Rangers, you were on a mad scoring spree. Remember, did you not get like 7 goals in 5 games?
No, it wasn't as much as that. But aye, thanks for that, Sty. Bum me up if you want. But I hadn't even had a shot, I don't think, for Celtic in about 4 years. And then, don't know what happened. I scored a header up at Pittodrie against Aberdeen. And then I scored against Dundee United at Tannadice, I think. Then I scored against Rangers on the space of like 4 weeks or something like that. I was mad.
All right, it was 3 goals in 4 games. I'm jumping from bit to bit here, but I'm trying to think of all these questions that I thought for you yesterday.
Right? So nervous, Mark.
Oh, no, man. It's so cute.
I've been boozing with this guy twice. He doesn't know it, but I've been boozing with him twice.
He wouldn't remember, Jay. Come on.
I remember I met you in Blue Dog, aye.
Blue Dog, that's what it was, aye.
Oh, cocktail bar.
Oh, I love that in there.
Great
man, innit? God, remember when you used to be with Goot, man? It was brilliant, wasn't it? Fucking hell, man.
Remember when you used to be able to go to concerts?
Now I
met you at the Stereophonics concert.
Stereophonics. Well, I can't remember that. I must have been a bit worse for wear, that.
I bought you a drink or two. We were at a bar and we were fucking steamboats, man. Nakamura, mate. Talk to me about him. Was he not just the fucking best ever?
Aye, he was my top player I've played with. He was frightening. Unreal. What a guy as well. Kidded on, he couldn't speak English, so he didn't need to do any press, which I thought was brilliant. even kidded on to most of his teammates that he couldn't speak English, the ones he didn't want to speak English to, but great, very quiet. His wee interpreter was brilliant. His name was Maka, so he had Naka and Maka, which was great. And he used to every day after training, he used to fire his wee interpreter in goals and hit free kicks into him. It was brilliant. So all of us were, every day, it was brilliant. And the wee guy would stand with the oversized Celtic jacket on, wee marker, you know, Eddie's knuckles, and he would stand goal and try and save his free kicks that Van der Sar guys couldn't save, and he's diving about the goal in the pissing rain. It was brilliant. We used to all look at the window, looking at him. See, that guy's not getting paid enough for this half knacker. That was class. Nah, what a player he was. What a player. He was awesome.
After Celtic, Mark, you had a brief stint at Bristol City before you went back to United. What was the second spell like at United?
I was much different, if I'm honest. I left Dundee United and they were still training at like junior grounds and spare pieces of ground you could get. So in my time away, they had different managers. I think Craig Levine came in and he made it more professional. Took the team to St Andrews to train, set up a training base, set up an academy. And it was much different, much more professional. Manager at that time was Jackie McNamara, Simon Donnelly, Darren Jackson. You know, 3 great guys. And to be honest, if I'm being completely honest, I was struggling injuries at that time, and Jackie and Sid and that knew that, and that kind of reflected the contract I got. It was kind of bit by bit, but I still managed to play my part. I was still good, still played with some top players. I mean, lucky enough to play with Andy Robertson at that time, who just came through, Stuart Armstrong, guys like Ryan Gold, and I enjoyed it. We had some success. We got, you know, finished pretty high up the league. We were doing pretty well, got to a Scottish Cup final, but beat St Johnstone right enough, and it was good, but I wish I could have played more games. I don't know if the United fans thought I might have been the same player as when I left, but what had passed by, something like 8 years or something had passed by. I had too many operations on my knee and I wasn't quite the same player. So I admit that, but I still enjoyed it. I still got a lot of time for the club. It's quite close to my heart because they brought me through and then gave me a second chance at the tail end.
They never gave you a push, but did they?
Fucking right, they didn't. No, I had to pay my own way at that time. I should have brought up the old Man City story to them when I was coming back. Do you remember I not back that house at City and made just 500 grand?
You owe me a house.
And I get that back now.
When did you decide to get into? You wanted to get into the media side of football?
I didn't. It just happened.
Really?
I came back up the road for Bristol City, signed for Dundee United. And then I just started getting me requests for, you know, I was met for the BBC, BBC Sports Sound. A mate who was a producer on the show lived in my street, and he said, "Do you want to come on for, you know, one of the, what do you call it, Sports Sound?" I said, "Aye." Went on. He says, "That went well. You want to come back next week?" I said, "Fine." Done him a few times. Then I got a call out the blue for Jerry McCulloch, who was the anchor at SSB. And they were starting a new season. I think they were looking to freshen things up. And they said, "Do you want to come in and be a pundit?" I thought it was just for the night. He says, "Come in on Thursday." So, fine, went in on Thursday. I thought it was just a guest on the show. And he says, again, "That went well. Do you want to come back next week?" I said, "Fine, okay." Went back the next week. And that was it. I was invited back maybe, I don't know, for 4 weeks on the trot, 5 weeks in the trot. And they says, "Look, do you want to be a part of this?" I said, "Aye, of course." I'd grew up listening to Clyde all the time. And, you know, it's been around Scottish football for a long time. So to be asked to be on that show, it was, you know, it was brilliant for me because I used to, like Hugh Keevans and all that. I'd only listened to him. I'd only read him in the paper. Quite often slaughtered me when I was at Celtic. So then to be on the same shows and work with him, what an experience.
He is a gentleman, man, isn't he?
He's a lovely guy, man.
Yeah, great guy. A lot of time for Hugh, and he makes that show. He knows,
aye.
I mean, he knows how to work the audience, and he's a very bright guy.
But about when you moved into management with Airdrie, what was that like for a Coke Bridge boy, Mark?
Aye, I loved it. Aye, it was good. It was pretty local. If I'm honest, I'm the same as Chris here. Albion Rovers was probably my Coke Bridge team, and of course, they're fierce rivals. So, and of course, Airdrie were, if you like, kind of the Rangers persuasion at Coke Bridge. So I don't know how it went down with the fans when I went. I mean, I did get a fair bit of abuse from my own fans. I mean, every game, there was boys that would sit behind the dugout and just, I think they just went there and paid their money to give me abuse. I mean, Airdrie fans. I mean, there was times I remember we were winning 4-2 in a game at the end of the season. I was securing a place into the playoffs, and this boy sitting behind me, you know, getting absolute pelters. This is fucking the use, Wilson. This is there. And I'm going,
Do you react to that? Do you ever react to it, or have you got to just totally bite the lip?
Got to bite the lip. You can't react to it now. I mean, I think the days you react to it, you could have got away with it maybe 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the old school managers. Whip out the phone, you're done, aren't you? Mm-hmm. That's it, you'll never manage again. So you just need to take it in the chin, I suppose. But no, it was great, and I really liked my time at the club. I had a great setup there, and you know, I achieved what they asked me to do, got us to the playoffs. And unfortunately, the situation wasn't right for the following year for me as a young manager, and I came to a decision that wasn't right for me to stay on, so decided to walk away, which is never easy. Being a young coach, you never know when you're going to get back in. So I had to make that decision. But I felt it was the right one.
Right, Mark, every single week on the show, we do a quiz. Right, I don't know if you've listened to the show, but we've got a quiz that we do at the end. It's a 90-second quiz, right? We've had a few belters in the past. We've had Kenny Duker at the top of the tree. He's got 13 points. Barry Ferguson and Owen Coyle have got 12. Looking down at the rest of the board, we've got Alan Archibald, Brian Prunty, David Temple, and they're all on 11. Murdo McLeod and Charlie Adam are on 10. Ian Murray and Lauren Shankland are on 7. Lee Miller, Jordan Young, Ross McCrory and Bob Malcolm are on 6. Frank McAvaney and Dick Campbell are on 5. Lovin Kranz is on 3. And the strongest man in Scottish football is David McCracken, because he's holding up the rest of them. He's only got 1 point.
Right, okay.
Anybody in that list that you want to beat?
Who was at the top again? I know, Dr. Goals. He's a doctor, though. I'll not beat him, will he? Kenny Duker.
Aye, well, after Kenny, you've got Barry Ferguson and Owen Coyle on 12.
I'll try and beat Barry Ferguson then, since he's an ex-Rangers man, that Kelly man.
You're going to try and draw with a good doctor then?
Well, there's no point in playing if I'm going to say I'm going to beat David McCracken, is there? May as well scrap it. Aye, right, go for it.
Because I'm a Celtic fan, I don't want to ask any questions because I'll end up slipping in a few hints, right? So, Gredo, you want to ask your questions, right.
Nay, but John, have we got 90 seconds on the clock?
Yes,
and you can't pass.
Aye.
The Blue Brazil are the nickname of which team?
Cowden Beast.
What was your first squad number at Celtic?
12.
Which ex-Celt has been linked with a move to Aberdeen this week?
Johnny Hayes.
Who do Spurs play in the Premiership this Friday?
Man United.
What are Edinburgh City's home colours?
White and black.
How many under-21 caps did you get?
19.
What Scotland winger currently plays for Bournemouth?
Ryan Fraser.
Who is the current manager of Dumbarton?
Jim Duffy.
Who put Celtic out of this year's Europa League?
FC Copenhagen.
How many career goals are you credited with?
15.
Where do Montrose play their home games?
Station Park.
Who finished third in the Scottish Premiership?
Motherwell.
What team did Rangers sign Joe Aribo from?
Charlton.
And what year were Dundee United formed?
1908.
What minute did you score your goal against Rangers in the Scottish Cup?
54.
How many clubs backed league construction this week?
9. Can you read the questions already?
Liverpool have been linked with this week with which Barcelona player? Liverpool have been linked this week with which Barcelona player?
Piqué.
What is Stennis Housemuir's nickname?
The Warriors.
Hibs ended their Scottish Cup drought against Rangers.
Time!
Holy shit, man!
Mark. 2016. Did I get 2016?
Oh, he gets that. Mark.
He gets that.
I think you could have had a record score there if Gredo could read properly and talk properly.
Come on, I thought I'd done well then, man.
You know what the best bit was? When you said Liverpool have been linked with this week with which Barcelona player? And Mark thought you said Motherwell. Motherwell linked with a Barcelona player.
How the fuck did I pronounce Stenhouse Muir and all? What the fuck did I say there?
Stenhousey Muir?
I thought that was well, but how did you take it down?
You've done brilliant there, Mark.
Did really, really well. Greg goes through some of the wrong answers, Mark. There could be one contention here.
Aye, it's not one by Wikipedia. It doesn't count because you give everybody else the answer.
We'll wait and see, Chris. What year were United?
Mark knows you like him, Paul. Calm down, man. Too much, though, mate. Too much.
What year were you Dundee United for was 1909. What minute did you score your goal against Rangers? 47th minute. How many clubs back league can reconstruction this week? Easy for Gredo to say. It was 16. Liverpool have been linked with Dembele from Barcelona this week. Apart from that, now we're going to go back to one with contention. You've said how many career goals? You said 15, right? I've got down 14 here.
I don't know. Well, I couldn't tell you.
You're a mess.
I'll say I was right, aye.
You're right.
I remember every one of them.
I tell you what, we'll do some research into that, right? So if you had said 14, you would have been top of the leaderboard.
Why don't we ask him the last question?
Aye, and if you get, why do we do that?
Well, okay, let's ask him the last question. And if you get that right, you're top of the leaderboard.
But this is an easy one, but...
That's the way.
Okay, fair enough, right. Okay. Sudden death.
Easy for you to read here, Gredo. You alright with this one?
Right, I'll do it. Because there's no time here, so I'll say this very slowly for you, okay? Mark, who did you play in your first game in charge of Airdrie? What? I must remember that.
I don't remember that.
What? Was that not like your first game in my
life? I'll be Rovers. I'll be Rovers. Yes.
Well done, Mark Wilson. Top of the leaderboard with an asterisk.
How current.
Brilliant, John.
Topical.
You beat Barry Ferguson and you beat the good doctor, Mark. On 14 now, mate.
No, maybe he's got an asterisk.
And an
asterisk count. Remember, Grado, asterisk count.
No, on that note.
Oh, that was well done, mate. Matt, well, thanks very much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Aye.
Cheers, guys. Enjoy that.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Find them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at G4 Claims Limited.
It is now time for our Beer 52 teaser. For your chance to win a case of beer, all you have to do is answer the question we put to you. Last week we asked you which Englishman played in the 1989 Scottish Cup Final and the 1992 FA Cup Final. The answer was Mark Walters for Rangers and Liverpool. Antoine Rogan also played in both for Celtic and Sunderland, although he was Irish, but his producer John wrote the question. His producer John wrote the question wrong on Twitter. We accepted both answers.
My fault.
Right, so congratulations therefore to Ross Finlay, who nailed it. This week the Premiership restarts, so how about this one? There are 9 players who have scored 50 or more Premier League goals whose surname ends with the letter A. Can you name 5 of them? You can enter by commenting on the link in the Football Daft Facebook page or tweet your answer to at Football Daft Pod. Winners must be over 18 and stay in the UK, and you can get your free beer from Beer 52 as well. It's a monthly subscription service for beer which they source from some of the greatest small batch breweries around the world. They theme every case each month with previous themes including Germany, South Africa, Korea, New Zealand and more. All you need to do is go to beer52.com/daft and we can sort you out free beers. We can sort you out free beers if you just cover the $4.95 for the postage. So just go to beer52.com/daft. That's the word beer and the numbers 5 and 2.com to get your first case of beers for free.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Get them now at notatfaultclaims.com.
Well, boys, another week has come and gone. That was a good laugh.
I really enjoyed listening to Matt Wilson.
He was great, wasn't he?
Ah, he was great.
By the way, see that night I met him in the boozer. What a buzz. Honestly, what a laugh.
Tell us, Bill.
Right. So,
what happened, man?
Back when I used to drink and be a wee fucking arsehole, right? We were in the boozer and Mark's married to one of my dad's friends' nieces. You know that way, you're like, I'm going to tell him that. So, I went over and I was like, how you doing, mate? We had a couple of mates in common as well, Marky Kerr and people like that, right?
So, Mark Kerr, right?
Went over and we got talking to him. I spent about an hour with him, man, honestly.
Just an hour?
It was a good laugh, but it wasn't like, fucking buying rounds and all that. It was a good buzz, but he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Sometimes he gets a bit of heat off his head. Fuck you, Grado.
See when Grado says tell us about it, he didn't mean literally tell us about it. He's ripping the cunt at you.
Hey, thanks for this week's episode, Trips.
Right, see you later, though.
Hold on, Paul's done a rage quit.
Oh,
we need to get a big runner story.
Oh, mate, don't come back.
After that, tell us about it. Tell us about it. No, I'm not falling for that. Fucking tell us about it. Yeah.
Right, guys.
Let me tell you about Big Bro.
Aye, have we got time, producers on?
John, have we got time left?
About that time, tells out Mark Wilson in the pub, so now we've got time.
I'll tell you about it next weekend.
Tell us next week, mate.
I have been Stephen Purden.
I've been Grado.
I've been Chris.
See you guys next week.
Audio Frontier.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.